I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of The Memo on this Monday, May the 23rd, 2016. Brad Locke here with you, joined by the lovely and talented Lauren Wood.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, Lauren.
Hey, I'm excited to be here. It's been a while.
I know. It has been.
I know.
We were talking earlier. It's like we haven't, it feels like we haven't seen each other in months because we've spent so much time together with that play.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, we just went back to our regular
work
lives.
Both you and Derek. I'm like, where are you guys? It's so nice to finally reconnect. It's been like 2 weeks, so no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
feels like a lot longer.
You haven't co-hosted in a while, at least not with me.
No, I haven't.
Yeah,
schedule's been busy. I've been.
Mm-hmm.
Been
I know every time Chris asks me, I'm like, I have something scheduled at like 9:30.
What's Derek doing today, anyway?
I don't know. He had some work he had to do.
Mm-hmm. Work, air quotes.
Yeah. So he says.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was glad when you said that your schedule allowed you to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. I looked at the script this morning for the show. I was like, oh, Lauren's hosting.
That's me.
That's a nice way to start the Monday.
I know. I'm excited to be here.
Those Mondays normally are no good,
but
in my opinion.
At least you got coffee.
I did get coffee. I've had like three cups already. You got some good coffee? You had the dregs earlier. You had to go get some
more. Better than the last cup I had.
Mm.
Yeah, it was the dregs. It was I can tell when I put my one creamer in if it's too dark. I'm like, I can't drink this.
Oh, yeah. You take creamer, don't you?
Just one.
I don't put sugar in it, too.
I just do my one French vanilla creamer.
Okay. I used to take sugar and cream in it.
I know.
And then eventually,
I was just pour it in.
Yeah. Eventually, I just decided just to drink it black, and that's
good for you.
All I did.
I can't do that. Yeah. I have too much of a sweet tooth.
I do, too, which is weird, but I kind of like the little bitter taste of coffee in the morning.
I'll put it this way.
That's the tone.
And I don't usually have a sweet tooth for a lot of things, but for coffee, that's actually one of the things I do during Lent is I stop putting sugar in it.
Oh.
So that tells you how much I dislike it without sugar in it.
Wow.
It's like the bitterness of it like reminds me that it's Lent. So so when it's not Lent, I definitely have sugar in there.
That's funny. A little symbolism there, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not a big fan of coffee without sugar.
My dad has always had coffee black, and I don't know if I just got that preference from him, but I don't know.
Well, my family are tea drinkers. We have tea with every holiday because my grandma's British. So,
oh, yeah. She is, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I'm the only one who really doesn't. I was like, no, I'm good for the tea. So they're like, oh, you're a Wood. Take it from my dad's side because I drink coffee.
So what's your grandmother's maiden name?
Overington.
That is a British name.
Margaret Joyce Overington.
Is she still with us?
Margaret Joyce. She is going to be 93 in July.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. She's awesome.
It's all that tea. It's
love her.
Secret to life.
Uh-huh.
I guess.
Yep.
So they do hot tea or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Just like Earl Grey.
Not like sweet tea, obviously, like we do.
It's iced tea up in Michigan also.
Oh, it's iced tea, not sweet tea. Do they drink sweet tea up there?
I mean, if you put a lot of sugar in it, I guess you can call it sweet tea, but it's iced tea with like a quarter of the sugar.
I don't do unsweet tea. No.
It's not unsweet, though. There's some.
Oh, I know.
There's like some sugar. It's
some
just
people,
like not the same amount of
some
sugar.
Some people do unsweet tea, and I just, I can't.
Sweet.
Yeah, but I don't like it overly sweet, which a lot of people, like you said, do down here. They just dump it in there.
And that's where I'm opposite, because after I say that about coffee, I don't necessarily say I prefer it, but I'll drink unsweet tea without adding anything to it and be fine. But coffee is the one thing I just have to have sugar.
Here's the simple rule in the South. The tea is sweet. The cornbread is not. Okay, sweet cornbread is a blight upon humanity.
I love sweet cornbread.
See, well, you're a Yankee.
This is true.
Are Michigans technically considered Yankees? I mean, really upper Midwest.
Midwest, yeah.
Yeah.
And even, it was funny, I did an internship for a little bit in Kansas, and people in Kansas were like, Michigan's not in the Midwest. And it's like, yeah, we are. Everyone in Michigan says we are. So
in the same time zone as Mississippi, right?
Nope.
No?
They're the very furthest part of the eastern time zone.
Oh,
it stays light there until like 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Yeah. You're up there a lot closer to the...
Well, not even that. It's just so far...
So far west.
So far west. Yeah.
Right.
The westernmost part of the eastern time zone.
Okay.
Like I was Skyping with my friend Julia and she's like, is it getting dark there? It's like, yep.
Yeah.
And she's like, it's still light here, and it's an hour later.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, we have someone in here with us.
Yeah.
We have an audience today. It's Maggie Bushway. She's our intern.
Intern. It's
her first day on the as an intern.
And she gets to hang out with us.
Yes. Say hi, Maggie.
Hi.
Say it louder, Maggie.
Hi.
Chris is dropping the microphone. Maggie's a soft-spoken individual.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
Having fun so far?
Yeah.
You've been here like an hour?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Maggie's going to help us out with some video stuff mostly.
Uh-huh. Yeah, multimedia.
Yeah, because Maggie.
I'm a Yankee too.
Do what?
I'm a Yankee too.
Are you?
From Colorado.
Oh, nice.
That's right. Y'all are from Colorado originally. Mm-hmm. Y'all family. When did y'all move here?
3 years ago.
Really? Okay. Did not know that.
That is one state I've never, sadly, have never been to. Colorado. Want to so bad.
It's beautiful. I just went there last week to
really?
Visit.
Really?
Yeah.
My sister and her family live in Denver. So, what part of Colorado?
Colorado Springs.
Okay. That's a nice area. It really is. I've been there a long time ago. But anyway, yeah, Maggie's going to help us this summer with some video production, and she has some experience. She's a local filmmaker. You may have actually heard her name. You entered a film in our Entertain Us contest recently, didn't you?
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
And you're kind of in that circle with other people like Lynn Payne and Casey Dillard. You've worked with
them. I work with them a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Those are two very talented local filmmakers. So anyway, just wanted to welcome Maggie to the journal.
Thank you.
We'll try not to. Hopefully we won't drive her away anytime soon. We got a good show today, Lauren. We got Caleb Bedillion to talk about the West Jackson redevelopment.
Jackson West.
Now it's Jackson West.
Uh-huh.
Then we've got Dennis Sid on to talk about what's going on in Fair Park, some development down there. So it's kind of a Tupelo City development day.
Stuff's happening in Tupelo.
We've also got the always fun and entertaining crime reports.
Yes.
We've got quite a few today. So
and the news wrap-up.
Yes, that as well. So anyway, we got a lot to get to, so let's get to it. Well, let's welcome in Caleb Bedillion, local government reporter for the Journal. What's up, man?
Hey, Brad. Glad to be here today.
Glad to have you. I want to talk with you about the story from the other day, this West Jackson.
Jackson West.
Well, I'm getting there. the West Jackson redevelopment effort the city is taking part in. They unveiled their branding last week, and as you mentioned, Jackson West is what they're calling it. Now, what they did, Caleb, see, it's called West Jackson Street. They just flipped Jackson West and Jackson, and now it's Jackson West. That's marketing 101.
And now it's a neighbor, branding. An official neighborhood.
Yes, branding 101, Jackson West. Which it does kind of sound, trendy or whatever they're going for.
Right. The West Jackson redevelopment corridor was a bit of a mouthful. So in an effort to go ahead and start creating a little bit of an identity to that area beyond just that spot where they tore down all the houses and are building new ones, the NDCS, the Neighborhood Development Corporation, which is handling the actual development end of this. City is providing the money, but NDC is kind of doing all the nuts and bolts of making this happen.
Right.
So the NDC hired the Mabus Agency, which is based here in Tupelo, to kind of help create some marketing material, some advertising, help kind of do some of the work of creating an identity there to the neighborhoods that are proposed. And yes, Josh Mabus, who is the president and founder of the Mabus Agency, presented some of these materials at a forum last week. It's mainly NDC people there, but some interested builders and developers were in attendance. So what Josh said was, instead of reinventing the wheel with something brand new, they would build on what's there, but in his words, kind of switch things around to create a bit more of an upscale feel.
Gotcha.
So that's why the material that Mabus has proposed would kind of brand that area as Jackson West. Yet to be seen how much NDC will take this material and run with it.
Right.
Certainly, some of the things the Mabus Agency had proposed included kind of taking this Jackson West name. They had put together various typographies and logos and had mock-ups of pole-mounted banner signs or entryway signs at the neighborhoods. And, Duke Loden, who is heading up the NDC right now, said, well, we might do some of that. So, we'll see. I expect them to run with the name. whether some of the signage appears. I think NDC's main goal is getting houses up.
Right, right.
And giving people a way to talk about that area. But whether we get the coffee mugs with the with Jackson West and as you say, the cicada, which was part of the marketing material that the Mavis agency put forward. It's kind of a stylized cicada logo. You know, we'll see. As of yet, there's nowhere you can get your cicada coffee mug. Oh, but, you know, maybe we'll have an update for the folks out there soon.
They sell coffee at Forklift, right?
Mm-hmm. I think you sell coffee at Forklift? Yeah.
Yeah, I think actually Duke had thrown that out, that maybe Forklift could get in on the coffee mug, you know, marketing. Yeah, yeah. The owner of the restaurant was there. He didn't say one way or the other where we can expect that.
So just to clarify, Jackson West refers, there's this pocket neighborhood, a couple of them, but it refers kind of that just to that whole corridor?
That's right, Brad. The West Jackson corridor is kind of the whole area where their plans call for eventually three pocket neighborhoods. Right now, all the work is going on a neighborhood that will be on the south side of West Jackson Street near the intersection of Joyner Street.
Right.
There will be a cul-de-sac in there named Ingram Drive with about 13 homes, depending on what builders do.
Right.
And then after that, the attention will turn to the north side, which will be directly opposite the Ingram Drive neighborhood.
Right.
And that's the street in there is probably going to be called Cicada Cove or Cicada Circle.
Okay.
And no builders lined up for that yet.
Okay.
And then eventually there should be a third pocket neighborhood further to the east near the intersection of Shirley.
As you mentioned, Josh Mabus kind of with the branding, at least going for more of an upscale feel. Now, the homes themselves will be pretty affordable, it looks like, between $110,000 and $150,000. So I don't know, you know, you're targeting maybe some young families, people like that.
Right, that's the goal. There will be deed restrictions that will prevent these homes from being turned into rentals.
Okay.
The idea is this area is supposed to be owner-occupied, you know. Part of the vision, I think, is that this could be, you know, first home for young couples, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Duke Luden said that the Tupelo housing market kind of has a real gap in the 110,000, 150,000 range.
Yeah.
So that's the goal, is what these houses will be. We'll see what happens when they come to market.
So we're looking at, what, a bunch of millennials moving in here?
I got the impression, based on the Mavis marketing, that that's what they're envisioning.
I get you.
But, you know, depending on who actually moves in there. One thing Josh said was that usually, you know, the feel of a neighborhood congeals after, you know, people move into it. And with this, they're kind of trying to do some of that work on the front end. We'll see if, you know, the people move into that neighborhood and have different ideas on the vision of what they want the place to be. So we'll see how things turn out.
It's going to be interesting to see how this turns out because for people who don't know, that corridor in West Jackson, they've had a lot of, as you might call it, blighted properties. It's not been the best part of town, per se. Of course, you had that apartment complex right there at Clayton, I think it was, at Clayton and West Jackson, where they had a lot of things going down that were not good, drugs and some violence and other things. Those are gone. That's where Forklift is going now, the restaurant, which will be a little bit upscale. David Leather's the chef. He's very good at what he does. So it's just going to be interesting to see this transformation keep taking place, Caleb, especially for someone like me who lives just off West Jackson a little bit, and I've been here for 13 plus years, and so I'm familiar with a good bit of the history of what that area is like. It seems like they've got a pretty solid vision in place.
Yeah, they have a vision in place, and this stretch of West Jackson is kind of on the southern end of the Joyner neighborhood, which is, you know, one of Tupelo's more in-demand neighborhoods, I guess you could say.
Right.
A lot of people move in there. So I think the goal is to kind of build on the success of the Joyner neighborhood.
Right.
But create something new that has its own feel that's not just Joyner.
Yeah.
Growing further.
Gotcha.
So, you know, we'll see how things go. Builder Andy Davis has committed to build anywhere from 6 to 8 houses in the Ingram Drive neighborhood, but they still have lots for about, you know, 7 or 8 more houses, depending on how many lots they end up putting in there. So that's their main goal right now, is to get builders to commit to construct homes on those remaining lots.
Okay. So anyway, good stuff there, Caleb. You can find that story in Friday's Journal or at djournal.com. Caleb, thanks for your time.
All right. Thanks, Brad.
Mm-hmm. The Daily Journal is excited to announce a change on our website that will allow more people to consume as much of our content as they want. We have recently removed our paywall, and djournal.com is now free from the first click to the last. We also have increased our multimedia content by launching new products ranging from videos to webcasts. The website complements our print product, the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. Visit djournal.com to stay informed on the latest news in Northeast Mississippi. Whether you want a recipe for tonight's dinner or details on the city's plan to revitalize neighborhoods, you can find it all in one place. There's no limit to what you can do at djournal.com, so come and stay a while and leave informed about the communities we serve. Need to remind you of the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol.
And we have Dennis Sitt here now to talk about another neighborhood in Tupelo. I know we just talked about Jackson West, but now we're going to switch over to the Fair Park District.
The Fair Park District. Yeah, and it's a combination of residential, commercial. Mm-hmm. And it's been around since 1999, so we're 17 years into it. So, some news recently that they sold, the Tupelo Redevelopment Agency sold one of the last two lots that it has in their second phase of residential development mm-hmm. in Fair Park. And there's enough room for up to 140 homes and also apartments, townhomes, mm-hmm. Not just 140 homes. I don't think I made that quite clear in the story. But anyway, so there's a little momentum they hope is being built by the offer on the lot. Of course, a lot of that was slowed down by the recession.
Yeah.
In 2008-ish.
7, 8, 9.
And yeah. We sort of lag behind. Things have built up there recently in the past year or so with mugshots mm-hmm. and F&B Bank and Bank Plus will be building there as well. So they feel like they've got things that are finally coming into place, falling into place. And then with the development of the Elvis Presley Trail,
yes.
That'll add more people onto the front porch of Tupelo, mm-hmm. as they like to say.
And they said it's like a four-part plan. They're kind of phase two, phase three, and yeah. That's more of like the entertainment. They kind of want to
right. Phase three
started
is,
with mugshots.
Additional. I guess three and four are sort of a combination of both entertainment,
uh-huh.
Restaurants, as well as housing. But, they're not going to say, you can't put a restaurant here because it's not part of phase four
yeah.
or whatever. They'll take whatever they can get. The original grand plan called for a theater, like a Malco. The Malco is out where it is now mm-hmm. On Tupelo Common. So there are hopes maybe there's a smaller type venue, sort of entertainment area of some kind,
yeah.
Amphitheater, I don't know. Anything, they're willing to, take any and all ideas.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I want to correct myself. I said it started with mugshots, and that's not true. It kind of gained a little more momentum with mugshots and kind of the area.
The building of City Hall sort uh-huh. of started
yes.
all.
And then the way, Park Heights and the grill.
And then all the
area.
Other buildings that came along and have mm-hmm. come along the way.
Yeah.
And again, we're only 17 years into the program. And it took Harbortown in Memphis, which is what Fair Park is modeled after,
yes.
20 plus years to get things going. And, mm-hmm. of course, we're in old Memphis.
Yes.
But we do claim Elvis. but, they feel good downtown and for good reason.
I think it's a great area. And, I didn't know this, but it used to be the fairgrounds.
Yep.
I did, yeah. I was like, oh, wow. And look at what it's become now even,
Where the Elvis's concert was, right?
Yep. And if you look at the gates, the entranceway is modeled after the original Fair Park gates that were there. If you look at old photos, you'll go, hey, that's the sign.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the original, it's the rebuilt.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this, I think it's exciting for downtown. I'm excited to see, I know we're 17 years into it, but excited to see where it goes from here.
And if you want to build a restaurant or
yeah.
build a home or buy a lot, call Debbie Brandenburg at the Downtown Main Street, Downtown Tupelo Main Street Association.
Mm-hmm.
She's the TRA contact there as well.
All right. Thanks, Dennis.
You're welcome.
Need to remind y'all to check out our two sports podcasts produced here at the Daily Journal. You can listen to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps every Wednesday. It's usually a webcast as well. We'll try to get that going 11:15 in the morning. But if you miss that, you can listen to the podcast. It'll drop that afternoon. You can listen for free on iTunes, your podcast app, or at preprally.djournal.com. And every Thursday, double coverage, Ole Miss and MSU Sports Talk with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry. Listen to that for free on iTunes, your podcast app, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Of course, the SEC baseball tournament starting this week, so those guys will both be in Hoover. Hopefully they'll be able to stay on schedule for a Thursday on that.
Well, here, today I'm going to start with the news memo.
There you go.
Today. All right. First up, for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. But first up, we're going to talk about the Tupelo Police Department motorcycles. The first of three new 2016 Harley-Davidson Electric Glide motorcycles was delivered to the Tupelo Police Department last week. The traffic division hopes to have the other two delivered and on the road by Memorial Day. Sergeant Brett Moyer said the department tries to replace its motorcycles every 5 years. Natchez Trace Harley-Davidson in Tuscumbia, Alabama, allows the department to trade in two old motorcycles for one new one. That allows them to get three bikes for the price of two. The TPD Traffic Division motorcycles are used to work accidents, run radar, and provide escorts for parades, funerals, and dignitaries.
The Mississippi State baseball team swept Arkansas over the weekend to win the Southeastern Conference Championship. It's the Bulldogs' 11th SEC title and first since 1989. They are the first team in conference history to go from finishing last one season to winning the league outright the next. Mississippi State receives a first-round bye and the top seed in the SEC tournament. The Bulldogs will take on the Alabama-Kentucky winner on Wednesday at 4:30. Ole Miss finished fourth in the SEC Western Division and seventh overall. The Rebels will also travel to Hoover, Alabama for this week's SEC tournament. They will open against 10th-seeded Georgia on Tuesday at 1 p.m.
I'm excited about this one. This is the North Gloucester traffic light. Construction has begun on a new traffic light intended to improve vehicle congestion on North Gloucester Street. The light will be located at the intersection of North Gloucester and Spicer Drive. Spicer Drive provides access to several hotels, as well as Lavino, a wine and liquor store. Plans call for a Texas Roadhouse restaurant to be built near the intersection in the former Vanelli's location. The construction of the new traffic light should be complete within 3 weeks. Some lane closures will be required on North Gloucester as work proceeds. Tupelo Water and Light Director Johnny Timmons said the traffic disruption should be minimal.
Tupelo High School graduate John Tapscott has been named a 2016 Fulbright Scholar. Tapscott graduated from Tupelo High School in 2012 and will graduate from Vassar College in New York later this month. With funding from the Fulbright program, Tapscott will move to Germany to teach and study after college. Recipients of Fulbright grants are selected on the basis of academic or professional achievement, as well as demonstrated leadership potential in their fields.
And Lenny's Sub Shop, the owner Greg Philgo is looking for a second Tupelo location for Lenny's Sub Shop. Philgo bought the Lenny's franchise for the All-America City in June 2013 and opened a location in the Tupelo Commons development. He hasn't decided on a location for the second restaurant yet, but he hopes to open it within the next year. He is weighing options on whether to open in West Tupelo or near Crosstown. Lenny's was founded in Memphis in 1998. The number of company and franchise-owned locations totals more than 120.
Well, Lauren, it's Monday.
It is.
Which means one thing.
What?
Crime reports.
Bum, bum, bum.
Still need to get that Law & Order sound effect on here when I introduce them. Yeah, that one. Yeah. So, lots of shenanigans in Tupelo and Lee County, Lauren, as always.
Mm, yep.
We've got several to get to, by the way. This first one happens in Guntown, which is no surprise once you hear it. You'd probably be able to guess that's where it happened.
I'm guessing it involves knives, right?
No. Farm equipment.
I thought guns, maybe.
A Guntown man said he let a friend wash clothes and spend the night. Okay, so he was letting his friend come over and wash some clothes and sleep over at his place.
That's nice of him.
Yeah, it's very friendly of him
because
they're friends. During the night, he heard a loud vehicle drive past the house. When he got up, his friend was gone, and so was his Ford 500 tractor along with a bush hog and a box blade.
Well, that's not so nice.
Stealing a tractor. Just drove off with the tractor.
Man.
I guess.
Wow.
Just driving down the road with a tractor pulling a bush hog and whatever.
In the middle of the night.
Maybe he had some bush hogging to
do. That would be really loud, wouldn't it?
It was. That's what he heard during the night. He just thought it was a vehicle. It was a tractor getting stole.
For the uninitiated who hasn't driven a tractor before, Do tractors have good headlights? I mean,
I've driven a tractor, but not at night. But yeah, they can happen because, you know, a lot of people will do work at night in their fields. And so they got pretty powerful headlights. A lot of them do.
The sun comes up.
So, yeah. There you go. You know, can't get away very fast. But
did he catch him?
Because he didn't need to. I don't know. It didn't say.
I guess he wouldn't really come upon that much traffic
at that hour.
Still, not cool.
A postal worker said that when she delivers mail along County Road 2254 in Saltillo, an aggressive dog bites at her vehicle. Today, the dog grabbed the left rear fender and pulled it off the car. He pulled the whole dang fender off. What kind of dog is this?
That's like very, like a stereotype. Like
yeah,
the dog
chasing cars.
After
you always wonder what happens
mailman,
when a dog,
right? Or like the chasing after the mailman.
Yeah.
Like the,
yeah.
But
so, what happens when the dog catches a car? Apparently, he pulls the bumper off. Usually, you'd think the car would win that battle,
yeah.
Right? I don't want to mess with that dog.
Huh.
No, yeah, but the stereotype about...
Yeah.
I saw a report the other day that actually they keep track of how many dog attacks there are on mailmen. There's like thousands across the U.S. each year. So, I mean, it's a real thing.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that's scary. A Barnes Crossing Road store clerk watched a woman enter the store with a large black plastic bag. She walks in with this big bag. That's not conspicuous or anything.
Was it empty too? Like
probably because she picked up a 4-pack of natural ice beer, Natty Light or just Natty Ice, whatever.
Yeah.
And a six. They both are terrible. And a 6-pack of Bud Light, and she headed to the bathroom with the bag full of beer. I mean, if you're gonna shoplift, like make an effort. When the clerk approached the woman, she did not have the bag. She quickly got into her Chrysler and struck a pole, damaging the driver's door and rear fender as she left the parking lot.
Karma?
The stolen beer was located in the bathroom. I guess she got in the bathroom and realized she couldn't pull this off. So she's like, gotta go.
She had to have been intoxicated.
She may have already been drunk. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, she hit
how
a pole.
Many?
Like,
I like to think she wasn't drunk and just can't drive.
How many beers were empty?
I don't know if
when
she
they found them.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she went in there and drank them. I don't know.
Quickly.
It doesn't say if they were, it had been opened.
Hmm.
So maybe
chugged
just
three beers and then, like, yeah. This is a bad idea. And leave.
Yeah, didn't we have one a few weeks ago, Chris? The guy in Walmart just popped one open.
Yeah.
And drank it.
I was trying to remember. I knew it sounded familiar.
Went to the bathroom and drank it or something.
Yeah.
Got arrested.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Don't try that.
People. And not only are you stealing beer, you're at least try to steal the good stuff.
I mean, if it's going to be free anyway.
Natty Ice, Bud Light, you can do better, people. Come on. A Magnolia Street man said he walked outside and saw his neighbor working on his roof. He offered to help the neighbor by lending him tools. That's nice and neighborly of him.
Why is this on the crime reports? Sounds like a good deed.
The neighbor responded by yelling threats of physical harm.
That's
not the reaction you expect, but we do have some context
on this
one.
Everyone's paranoid these days.
He said the neighbor's upset because this guy calls 911 on him for fights and loud music. So the guy who offers the tools often calls 911 because this other guy is over there fighting and playing loud music. But it looks like he's trying to mend fences here. Like,
roofs.
Here's a little peace offering.
Uh-huh.
And the guy's like, no.
No.
Quit calling the cops on me.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I have a feeling he's going to call the cops some more now.
I would. A Nettleton woman found a man, speaking of people on roofs. Roofs? Roofs?
Roofs?
Roofs?
Roofs.
Whatever.
Roofs? Roofs?
Whatever you prefer.
I don't know. Anyway, a woman found a man on the roof of her house. The man who had done roofing work earlier said he was looking for a missing tool and left the property. Yeah, he was looking for a missing tool. That's it. That's why he was on her roof.
Yep.
I'm sure.
But
that's not
else?
Creepy at all.
Yeah. What else would he be doing on her roof, though? Like
spying? I don't know.
Yeah.
I who knows?
Casing
maybe
in the
he was
place,
gonna,
maybe?
Maybe he was going to throw water balloons on her. I did that once.
She walked in.
I got in trouble in college doing that on top of the dorm. It wasn't a very tall dorm, and the second floor was right above the entrance. Anyway, me and a bunch of guys from the hall, we were chucking water balloons on people as they walked in. We got in trouble. Yeah, the RA busted us.
I had a friend in college who threw, I'm trying to remember what it was. It was something that he lit and threw out of a window, but it caught a bush on fire. Pretty funny.
Well, we did a lot of stupid things in that dorm. Anyway, a patrol officer saw a bicyclist weaving along South Thomas Street after dark with no lights. The 53-year-old woman smelled of alcohol and had trouble standing up. She could ride a bike, though. Her boyfriend arrived and said she'd been drinking vodka and got confrontational. He thought it was a good idea for her to sleep it off in jail. He just sent her off on the bike and figured she'd get picked up. I don't know. Or he just, yeah.
I don't know.
Why are you drinking vodka? You ever notice that the people on crime reports have horrible taste in beer and liquor? I'm not a fan of vodka, but to each his own. But you never see somebody getting arrested after
you're judging.
After drinking Booker Bourbon, you know, the $60 bottle of bourbon or Lazy Magnolia. You don't see that. People trying to shoplift New Belgium beer. It's always Bud Light or something.
Maybe it's harder to get drunk on the expensive stuff.
I don't know. Not really. I've got some 8% ABV in my fridge right now. You could get drunk pretty fast off that if you want it. Anyway,
I just meant it costs more to get the
well. It does cost
the
more.
Quantity
yes.
of it.
Yeah, I mean you're going to have to pay more. It's true. Anyway, where was I? Oh, we got another drunk person. An intoxicated man was driving a black Lincoln Navigator up Chester Street around 5:15. Yeah, y'all got to stay with me on this one. It's kind of long, but it's worth it. He's driving up Chester Street at 5:15 on a Monday afternoon. Okay, he sideswiped a parked car, knocked over a stop sign while trying to turn left onto Callaway Street. He hit a flower bed and a fence before coming to rest in the backyard of someone's home. The homeowner said he knew the driver from Alcoholic Anonymous meetings.
Oh.
The driver, who screamed and yelled obscenities at medical personnel, was arrested for He was arrested for DUI, failure to maintain control, no proof of insurance, open container, reckless driving. So, just happened to crash into the backyard of someone he knew from AA meetings. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he used to go back to a few more.
Yeah.
So, best wishes to him once he gets out of the out of the can to get things straight. He took out a lot of stuff. Hit a car. Hit a stop sign.
The garden.
Hit a flower bed. Hit a fence,
yeah,
and finally stopped and probably damaged their yard when he came screeching in there at 5:15 on a Monday. Finally, when a train stopped and blocked Elizabeth Street, a GMC pickup driver attempted to go off-road, of course he did, and drive around the train. Instead, the truck got stuck across the tracks.
Oh, no.
He gets stuck on the tracks of 100 yards west of the street.
I want to do this thing right now, and I'm going to do it because I can't wait like everyone else. That's what you get.
Several people ran from the
no
truck.
No sympathy for this person.
I would, too, in case the train starts again, I guess. The intoxicated 19-year-old driver did return and take responsibility. Okay. So he did come back to like, yeah, I did it. I was trying to take a shortcut, which I think he would have done even if he wasn't drunk because... Okay, I'm a redneck. I know rednecks. I know people who would try this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Train's in the way. Hey, it's running through the ditch here. Oh, yeah. I'm in a truck. We can make this.
Yep.
So that's it for crime reports, Lauren.
Oh, I know that was a lot.
It was a lot, but I hope it was worth it.
It was.
It's hard to chop these down. There's just so many good ones. You can find more at tipsheet.djournal.com. Hopefully we'll have some today for you.
Mm-hmm.
So... Anyway, it was nice hosting with you, Lauren.
I know. It was a good time.
Good time to catch up. We don't know what's going on in each other's lives anymore.
I know.
Do what?
I'm glad I could be here.
Yeah. Like, Lauren didn't know that we're moving until I told her this morning.
You were, like, looking for a new house. Yeah, but now we didn't know. It was like, oh, we're old one sold, and we bought the new one already. It was like, whoa.
We're packing stuff up.
That was fast. Okay.
It was.
Y'all sell, too? I know you.
Yeah.
I know you closed on the new one.
First person that looked at our house.
Wow.
And it hadn't even been listed yet. That's how good our real estate agent is.
I know.
I'm not sure if he advertises with us. I think he does. Jason Warren. Yeah,
they do. I know somebody else that were trying to sell their own home, like for sale by owner, for a few months, like 6+ months, and they couldn't sell. And then Jason Warren, and then within the week, it was sold.
Dude knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He used to work for Tommy Morgan. And was like always their top seller. Now he's in business for himself. So.
Okay.
Anyway.
Tommy Morgan's a good advertiser, too.
He is. And actually, the home we're buying is the Tommy Morgan home.
Tommy Morgan
and
home.
So we had good experience working with them as well. So I could recommend either one of those companies, Jason Warren or Tommy Morgan. Today's show brought to you by local real estate agents, Tommy Morgan and Jason Warren. What was I going to say, Lauren? Oh, yeah, what's going on with you? Might as well catch up while we're here.
Not too much.
Just working?
Yeah. Working.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You're ready to go to Michigan.
Going back home for a few days this summer.
Very quick trip in June, and then
A longer trip in August.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my cousin's graduating from, and I know everyone here has already graduated, but they don't. He doesn't graduate till mid-June.
From high school or just college?
High school. Yeah, and he's going to Michigan State.
Yay.
I mean, both of his parents went there, and he was raised to go to Michigan.
So, and his cousin went there.
What, oh, it's like...
his cousin named Lauren.
Yeah.
Is there any black sheep Michigan people in your family?
Well, my cousins, let's see, on my other side of the family, my cousins, like their dad was a Michigan State professor. Mm-hmm. And my one cousin went to Michigan State, and my other cousin went to Michigan.
So he gets served last at Thanksgiving dinner.
No, it's okay. But then my other cousin went to Michigan State too, and basically on both sides of the family, it's all just Michigan State.
So just one Michigan guy.
Mm-hmm. And, okay. Yeah, and now he's out in California doing his thing. So I don't think he was really into the whole like football scene or anything. Like it's fine. He's not really that very then. Like.
He doesn't care.
I went to Michigan. No,
he'll still cheer for the Spartans. Uh-huh.
He went to East Lansing High School. Okay. So, and then I think just wanted a little change, you know.
Fair enough.
Went to Michigan. So.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm excited for him. He's going to Michigan State in the fall.
My family's kind of the same way. Most of my family went to Ole Miss or are Ole Miss fans.
Yeah.
Although my dad has degrees from both Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. I graduated from Ole Miss. But then I covered Mississippi State for 5 years, yes. And some people think that for whatever reason, oh, you cover State, you're a State fan. No,
right.
I'm not. And I'm not an Ole Miss fan either anymore.
You're just a sports fan.
You're just a Cardinals fan.
Yeah, that's the only team I root for anymore is the St. Louis Cardinals. That's it, which people maybe not understand that, but when you're a sports writer, you kind of organically lose your fandom, which to me has been kind of liberating not to care who wins or loses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can just enjoy the game for what it is. Oh, but anyway, still got a lot of Ole Miss fans in my family, but I covered State for 5 years, so my kids ended up becoming MSU fans, which the rest of my family is Ole Miss fans, so they catch grief for that. I'm like, hey, I didn't, this, you know, they were around that because they would sometimes go with me or this,
went to the games.
They always heard about MSU doing this or that.
I will say I enjoy covering schools that I didn't attend and I'm not fans of because I can like root for both of them and kind of.
And it was cool to cover State because I'd not really had any involvement with the school. I hadn't been to Starkville hardly at all, maybe a few times, but it was a really cool experience to do. And it's a nice, great school, and they got some great sports programs. Mm-hmm. As we mentioned, MSU just won a SEC baseball title, and so they're doing well. Ole Miss is having a good year as well. So, and there was discussion even that they might meet in a super regional if things pan out right with the pairings.
Be fun. I hope they don't because I mean, I'd love to see them both get to Omaha.
I don't know if they
can both do it, but I just by them. I mean, them meeting means one of them will be there, but it means both of them could.
But it would be even cooler if they both got to Omaha and met there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That would be neat.
Oh yeah.
That'd be really neat.
So anyway, good show today. We have to do it again, Lauren.
Yeah.
Don't,
I know.
Don't be a stranger.
Hopefully, I can do it again soon.
Yeah. You can catch us online on Twitter at @DJournalMemo. You can also send us an email, memo@journalinc.com. Catch up with all the news, sports, and entertainment going on in the region at djournal.com. Follow the journal on Twitter at djournal now. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Lauren's on Twitter. Remind me.
Would LAU2. Would Lau.
LAU is in Lauren.
Sounds like an old college email address.
It is.
Oh, yeah, it is. That's right. Chris is on there at Chris Kiefer.
First F is silent.
First F is silent, Kiefer. Okay, don't mess it up. Maggie Bushway, are you on Twitter?
I'm not. I'm on Instagram, 501 Films.
501 Films on Instagram. Maggie Bushway, our intern there.
I'm going to find you right now.
She's one of those young people that doesn't do Twitter anymore.
I tried it. I can't figure it out.
Can't figure it out.
It's weird. There's like pockets of the young generation. I think that either get really into like one thing. They really into like Vine, or they get really into Instagram, or they get really into Twitter, and it's not really Facebook, but like they kind of just like pick one and that's their thing.
Yeah,
so
it's funny because
Twitter is so 2014.
Or Snapchat, excuse me.
That's everybody's on Snapchat now. Yeah, I got back on Snapchat for like the third time. Mm-hmm. I still don't use it much.
So, but it's kind of like you pick one and you just go for it.
Yeah, I've got two daughters on Facebook, but they're hardly ever on there.
Mm-hmm.
They're all on Snapchat and Trinity just uses the heck out of it. They're all on Instagram, I think. Talking about my three teenage daughters. Don't think they're on Vine. Well, they may be. I don't know. Or they just look at Vines. They don't know that they do Vines.
Is Vine still big? I was getting the impression.
I kind of thought it would die off, but it hasn't. So it's still kind of a thing.
People get, like, paid to do Vines. Yep, yeah. Sponsored seriously. Vines. 6 seconds.
I need to become a Vine star. But I have Vine on my phone, but I haven't done one in forever because I'm like, mm-hmm. I can never think of anything to do.
Well, that's what it's... I appreciate these people. I'm like, they're doing a whole kind of video in 6 seconds. Like, they're just, yeah. You know, that's...
Yeah, I want to be like, figure out something like, you know, the Bat Dad. Is that his name?
Oh, yeah.
Bat Dad. Uh-huh. He's hilarious. Yeah. I need to figure out a shtick like that. Mm-hmm. Make some money on Vine. The Journal's not on Vine, by the way.
No.
I'm on Vine.
Not yet.
Via my Twitter. I guess you can find me at Brad Locke on Vine, but I don't do anything with it.
I haven't opened my Vine in a long time.
So anyway, that's it for the show. We'll be back on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I guess Derek will be back, unless I just decide to have Lauren in here and tell Derek to take a hike.
Yep.
Okay.
Look at.
Maybe we'll have Maggie co-host someday.
Yeah.
Maybe so. All right, y'all have an excellent Monday. We'll see you next time.